Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
I should say thank you. When I went in, Bob said, would you like to speak? And I said, certainly. I love to talk about Stubbs. I joined the Navy in Naval Reserve 1938. I'm going to be 94 years old this October. And I got called into some of this. I may be repeating myself, but I'll try to remember some things. And I got called in April 19th, 1941, and sent to boot camp as a second-class seaman. We were getting $36 a month pay, 10 of which they sent home, so they left us with $26. And so from then on, I was in San Diego when the 7th came, and I was ordered to the USS Pennsylvania. When I got to Pearl on the 24th, I got assigned to the USS Peleus. Best assignment I ever had. Mothership. That was the Yeoman in the squadron. And we went down to Fremantle and worked out of Fremantle, Perth being our town very close by. I made five war patrols on the Thresher, and ended up as Yeoman First Class. I think the total number of ships we sank was close to 29 to 30. December 24th, 1942, we laid off of Surabaya, Dutch East Indies, and a Japanese convoy going to inland Australia came out, and we sent the first three transports, and they lay at the bottom for about four or five hours. We were pounded like hell, but we got out of there. And the only problem is the water there wasn't very deep, 150 feet. So had some pretty close calls, but had a good skipper. And just to digress a little on that, this one of the officers, he and I became very, very good friends, and he was awarded the Navy Cross because he saved his boat from complete destruction. The captain had given up and gone into a stateroom. And then when writing up the patrol report, the captain took all the accolades that he saved his boat. Well, that came to the surface, and with testimonials and so forth. So at the end of the conversation, we were in Annapolis, and we were having a cocktail party, and there was three admirals, one captain, all in 70s. And I said, I'll see how far I can go with this group of guys. So I walked up to him and I said, by the way, gentlemen, I said, I did something that neither one of you ever did and won't do. And they said, what's that? I said, it only took me 90 days to get my stripe. Took you guys 4 years. Now, they could have come back at me and really blew me out of the water. But this one guy says, we were slow learners. I said, I'll see you with you anytime. I just saw a statistic yesterday that we had 22,000 in the force. And, of course, as you know, we lost 25-26%. And there's only 7,000 of us left today. And my goal is I'd like to live to be the oldest combat veteran if possible, but who knows. Anyway, I developed pulmonary fibrosis from asbestos. And fortunately, I was able to get 100% disability because it affected my breathing, but we keep on top of that. And there's a lot of benefits. And don't hesitate to check your benefits out, because if you had any kind of situation from a medical standpoint, look into it, because they're getting a lot more lenient. And one of the biggest things which we're facing today with these troops coming back from Afghanistan is PTSD, post-traumatic syndrome deficit, and it really, really is a problem. And I diagnosed with that 3 years ago. But these guys, my hat's off to these Marines, because what they do. And unfortunately, those of us that were not in the service, they take too much for granted. And when you stop to think about our troops over there, it's really something. There was, in the, like anything else, you had a good skipper, you had a good a boat, and you had a good camaraderie. If you had a skipper that was, you know, you'd want to get off as soon as possible. We had one skipper, the second one I had, by the name of Harry Hull. His father was Cordell Hull, who was Secretary of the Navy, and they gave him direct command without sending him out as a prospective commanding officer. And this guy was the biggest so-and-so. When he made some torpedo approaches, he wanted to fire when we was about 5,000 yards away. Well, that doesn't work. I've seen torpedoes bounce off the sides of ships and explode, and nothing happens. And we sunk a 10,000-ton steamer transport with our deck gun. We had a 551, did they tell you that, 326? Gave us this 551. And at the first spread of four torpedoes, we fired, they just bounced off the sides of the ships. And so skipper says, let's get them with our deck gun. And we fired, we had 75 or 85 rounds, and we fired all 75 to 85 into the transport, and we were able to sink it. That was the only time that I came under live machine gun fire. But someone asked me, I was at a reunion, they said, how is it to be depth charged? I said, you know, I really want to be honest with you, I don't remember. I said, I know we took a lot of beatings and slacking, but excuse me, the old story, misery loves company. So you look at your buddy and say, what's it doing? He said, we'll be all right, or something like that. So reassurance. But it was good duty and unbelievable. We dove one time with a hatch open, and that was not a very good thing to do, because they had been overhauling the hatch mechanism, greasing it, and it was in the open position, and he dove the boat, and he couldn't get the hatch. So the next thing you know, I was sitting in the wardroom playing cribbage with the old man, and in fact, he was the one that recommended me for my promotion. And he ran up into the conning tower, and I took my time and strolled into the control room, and this buddy of mine had the dive. And he says, we're going down like a lead rock. I said, well, that's something. He said, and we were trying to raise the conning tower, and we got no answer. So he turned around to me, and he said, Jack, he says, looks like I'm going to be the skipper, and you're going to be my exec. And I said, this is one enough of a way to get a promotion. But we leveled off at 700 feet, and we tore down every piece of equipment that we could, dried them in our ovens, and put it underway. It took us about 24 hours. And that was a scary time, because with no propulsion lying dead in the water there, all we had to do was have a submarine there, and we would have been history.
But Jack, you left your guys up in the conning tower. What happened to them?
They had flipped the switch to the off position, and they were up to their necks in water. And when we finally raised them, We drained the conning tower and got back to the surface, fortunately. But and our test depth was only 350 feet, because we could have had an implosion at 700 feet, but fortunately we didn't. So it was really something. But as I say, I talk to these, I belong to the Navy League, and if any of you are not familiar with the Navy League, it's a group of civilians and retired military and so forth. San Bernardino has a chapter. We have a chapter in Palm Springs, and we meet once a month, and we've adopted several crews out of San Diego for scholarships, and we just we're the only base in the United States was able to adopt a SEALs team. My son was fortunate enough to know a lieutenant commander who was head of one of the units out here on the West Coast, and after a year of maneuvering, we finally was able to sponsor them. So we give the crews scholarships and things of that nature. So, we take them into our homes, and it's really a night. I tell the guys when I see them, you know, stay in, put your time in, because you come out of your 38 or 40 or 42, and you get into civilian life, and you'll do all right. And especially coming out of submarines, you don't have a problem getting a job. That's one thing. I mean, they'll snap you up in a hurry. And the funny thing about it is, when I look back upon the time that I spent in the service, I can remember, frankly, every single day of the 5 years. But you ask me what I did from 70 to 75, I can't even tell you what day it was. And that's how it is, because, as someone said, what did you think? And I came in on patrol one time, and my brother was a chief storekeeper on a repair ship. And I looked him up, and he said, what makes a successful patrol? This is when we tie up at the tender. At the end of a patrol, that's a successful patrol. So that, as I say, it was good duty. And you guys have a great way. I still think they're just as crowded today as it was when we were in the diesel boats, you know. But one thing you do have the advantage that we didn't have is that you could use all the water you want, take a shower every single day if you wanted. But because we were only allowed one shower a week for 5 minutes. And the 5 minutes, and they clock you. I mean, guys stood out there with a stopwatch. And because we could only distill so much with our evaporators, we could only distill so much fresh water. And we're careful that way. But I was in Squadron 6, which we had 12 in the squadron, we lost about 8 of the boats. And the last patrol I was on is the Shad, and I was a Lieutenant JG, and I decided, this was in August of 45, and I decided this was going to be my last patrol, because the more times went out, the less chances I had of coming back in. So we had some close calls. A good buddy of mine was a redhead Irishman, and he came down off the bridge, and he was as white as the paper. And I said, what happened, Fitz? He says, we just missed a fish by 2 feet off our bow. He said, by the time I saw it, I couldn't do any correction or anything like that. But we got away. But I'm not very religious. I believe that the guy upstairs has a book of all our names in it, and when he wants to call you and meet him upstairs, he's going to scratch your name and you're going to go. And I tell you why I say this. First skipper I had was a guy by the name of Monk Milligan, one of the greatest Irishmen I ever met in my entire life. If he said to me, we've got to go through that wall of fire there, follow me, I'd say, I ain't following through. Someone else would say it, and I'd say, get lost, so I'll wait until you put the fire out. That's how much confidence I had in this fellow. So he looked me up when I was in the officer sub-school in New London. He just got new construction, and the Escalade. And he looked me up, and he said, I wanted you to be on my crew as one of my officers, but he said they wouldn't transfer you out of school. So when you get to Pearl, I'll leave orders for you. Well, Fortunately, I was delayed in getting deferral, and I think of this every single day. I walked up and I said to the operations officer, I said, Ensign Abel's reporting for assignment to the Escanaut, Captain Milligan. And he was sitting just like this, and he looked up, raised his head up, and she says, Abel, she's overdue. I'll tell you, I did it all over, because I had a lot of buddies on that particular boat, but it's a long time ago, and unfortunately, I don't want to get into politics, but the sooner we change our leadership in this country, the better off we're going to be. If anyone's got any questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
Yeah, Jack, when you took over 5 minutes to take a shower, what'd they call you?
Clean. Oh, yeah. We use more Rockefeller and Bay Rum and not only on the blinds, but it was something, you get accustomed to it. And you took 20 pairs of skivvies. That was the last year. You know, 3 days, and you had to get out of it and walk away from it. But the camaraderie is unbelievable. One thing about the submarine force, I don't care what kind of a situation comes up, there'll be someone there that can take care of it immediately. They'll figure something out, regardless of what it is, and it's not being repaired or anything like that. Someone will say, this is what we have to do, and they do it. And that's, so that's the greatest thing, anyway. Okay. All right. Well, thanks very much.
Thank you.